Why did he come here? Why did Jesus come? I've been in ministry for 20 years or so, and there are a lot of answers to that question. Some answers are better than others, and I want to make sure I get some of the bad ones out of the way. So we can get into the good stuff. These are things I've actually heard from people in my 20 years of ministry. Reasons why Jesus came. Jesus came so we could have Christmas. Christmas trees and the presents and the lights warms my heart. The carols and the feasts and the decorations and the snowmen. Sandmen in Florida, I guess. Shopping, eggnog, and let's not forget Santa Claus. Jesus came so that Americans especially, but people all over the world, could overindulge on gift-giving and gift-receiving, all in the name of family and faith. I don't think so. Jesus came to teach morals. He came to give us a new ethics code that would make us better people, like Hammurabi's law, or the Sumerian code, or the Hippocratic oath, or the 12 tables of Justinian, the Tang code, the Great Qing, the Constitution, all thoroughly developed moral codes that taught people how to live together in peace and harmony within a construct of laws for that given culture. So Jesus came to be the great ethics professor. I don't think so. Jesus came to fix the environment. He was actually the one who founded Greenpeace 2,000 years ago. I made that part up. But Christ came to teach us how to be more eco-conscious, so his golden rule would extend to recycling and preventing deforestation and pollution. Again, this isn't a bad thing in and of itself, but is this really why Jesus came? How about this one? Jesus came to condemn sinners and tell everybody that they're going straight to hell. And he commissioned special people to stand on street corners with megaphones outside of rock concerts and movie theaters to let people know about their certain eternal damnation. I just don't think so. Jesus came to model manners and kind living. He wanted to make sure that we would learn to be gracious hosts, lovingly inviting everyone into our homes. In that sense, we could read the Bible and our latest issue of Martha Stewart Living side by side. Make sure we feel Christian hospitality all around us. Again, not a terrible thing, but is it why Jesus came? 2,000 years ago, they said he came to start a war so the rich rulers of Rome would feel the sting of the small, fledgling nation of Israel who would blindly follow their powerful army general into a fully sensical revolt? I don't think so. Again, some of those things aren't so bad in and of themselves, but none of them constitute the reason why Jesus came. Why did he leave the splendor of eternal glory for the mess that is earth and us? He did it for internal purposes, not for things that could be seen on the outside. So we're going to dive in to some of the real reasons that John's gospel gives us for why Jesus came to us. Today we're officially kicking off our church year. We've passed Labor Day, and we avoided getting demolished by the hurricane that apparently comes at Labor Day every couple of years. Now we're back in the swing of things, and we just had brunch together. For those of you who are able to join us, I'm glad you did. And for the next year, there's going to be a lot of transition and transformation going on in the life of our church. And we'll be diving here in the sermons into the life and teachings of Jesus, which must be our foundation if we're going to be a functional group of Christians using this tool that will be the new building for the gospel and for the mission of God. An era of newness has been gifted to us. So let us plant ourselves firmly on the rock, the foundation that is the life and teachings of Jesus. Our first Jesus series is called What's the Point? I think it's a great place to start. What's the point of all this? What is the point? Who, what, where, when, why? All about Jesus. We're going to try and lay a really solid foundation that will help us to have context for his teachings and for his ministries. And today we're going to ask the question, why did he come? And we'll seek our answers from the first chapter of John's Gospel, starting at verse 9. So let's listen and hear God's word for us. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John, the Baptist, testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Amen. I've been studying this passage of Scripture for a while because I knew we'd be kicking off on it. And in here I see six actual concrete, solid biblical reasons for why Jesus came. And I want us to understand these so that we don't get God's intentions mixed up with our own. First off, Jesus came to give light to everyone. The necessity for light implies that there is darkness. The Greek word here is phos, as in phosphorescent. And it's a unique word in that it has equal parts literal and figurative connotation. Jesus came to bring a figurative light, an illumination to a part of the faith at that time that was not very well understood. They were going through a lot of transition, and darkness ensued. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had a big storm. Well, we had a lot of big storms, but a couple weeks ago, we had one in the afternoon when I was here, and it kicked off all the electricity. And since I work upstairs, the hallway was pitch black. I mean, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but it was pitch black. And I had to get my phone out and get my phone light out to find my office door. And it was kind of scary. The next week, we bought security emergency lights that turn on automatically to light darkness. That's what we need. When we have darkness, we need to light it. And that's what Jesus did. He came to bring light, to be a figurative light to the faith of the people of God. And he came to shed light on God's actual plan for salvation, because the people back then had a lot of different ideas of what Jesus was going to do, what the Messiah would come do. And he didn't want people to be fumbling around in the unknown, looking for the right door or the source of illumination. He wanted to give that to them and be that for them. He came to bring light. The second reason he came was so that he could be received and believed. If you think about it, Jesus came with a pretty outlandish story. You know, here's Jesus saying, I'm 30. God sent me. I was born of God and a virgin. I went out into the desert and didn't eat for 40 days. Satan came to me, tempted me. Oh, I can do miracles too. And people are going to follow me. I mean, just wait. I'm going to feed 5,000 people with a couple loaves and a couple fishes. I'm going to change water into wine, people. I'm going to make dead people alive. People are standing there going, this guy has got to be out of his mind. Go back to the wilderness. However, his approach to the scriptures resonated with biblical scholars because they were amazed by his depth and the authority of his teaching. And his teachings resonated with the poor who he promised would be blessed. Where would they ever see that? He was called to shake things up. He was deposited among his own to proclaim the good news of God's salvation to them. And he did so in a remarkably relational manner. Everything he did was in relationship. He would approach people. They would have to receive him. Ultimately, some would reject him. But all had the opportunity to receive him. Some would ultimately reject his teachings, his outlandish tale of how he came to be and what he was here to do, but all had the chance to hear and believe. The third reason he came was to offer people the opportunity to be saved and to present that as a reality for each of them. In verse 13, the gospel writer talks about us being born of God. And this is what happens in our salvation. We give ourselves over to the Father. We submit ourselves to his authority and his love, his mercy, his grace. And all the natural and earthly parts of our existence sort of fade into the backdrop of our identity. And the spiritual being, the child of God, is what emerges to the forefront. That's what is supposed to show. It's where our identity lies, not as pastor or banker or lawyer or father or grandfather or mother, daughter, teacher, business person, churchgoer, Presbyterian. None of those are our identity. We are all children of God. Now, I want you to imagine, because we do this a lot, when we meet people, we usually tell them our name and what we do, right? I'm Dino. Yeah, I'm a pastor. Because it'd be awkward to go up to people and say, hi, I'm Dino. I'm a child of God. I mean, let's just be honest, that would be awkward. We're probably not going to do that. Frank, are you going to go up north and do that next week? I don't think you are. Just a hunch. Choir? No. People? No. Gwen, you going to go to people at school and tell everyone child of God? She's shaking her head violently. We won't do that, and I get it, and I don't want to condemn that. Friends, we have to show it. We don't need it to spill off our lips. We need it to spill out of our lives. So when people see us, they see that we are different, born of something else. Imagine the joy and the freedom of what binds us to the earth fading away so we can live into the freedom of Christ's love for us, so that child of God is what people truly see. What a blessing to be born of God. The fourth reason Jesus came was to make a home among us. Like I said earlier, he descended from the eternal realms of God's glory to come and experience the broken mess that is earth and humans. He felt our pain. He experienced our hurts. He realized the sting of brokenness. Ultimately, his coming to us, making a home among us, was part of his salvation plan. He wanted to relate, so he had to be fully human in order for us to be saved, in order to become the atonement for all of human sinfulness. So he came here and put the power of God on display, and he preached the kingdom, but he did not shield himself from the reality of humanity. He did not shield himself from the temptation to sin. He felt that. He just fought it a lot harder than we ever do. He experienced the desire to exercise righteous anger. He did a couple times, but other times he kept it to himself and exercised love. He experienced the hurt that exists between people when they hurt each other. I mean, he stood up on the steps in front of his own people while they shouted for a murderer to be saved instead of him. His own put him on a cross and watched him die. His own best friends ran away and rejected him. But friends, he felt the sting. He felt the mess of human brokenness. And he made his dwelling among us and experienced our real lives firsthand as an expression of his deep love for us and his ultimate desire to give us something better in eternity. The fifth reason Jesus came is to dole out the grace of God in a new, fresh way. See, there were already some means of grace for the pre-Jesus Jewish people. When they had sinned, they could follow the set of laws, perform the proper sacrifices and prayers and rituals that would absolve them of their sin. This was their way of life for a long time. It was how they would atone to God. But when Jesus came, it was a superabundance of grace, unmerited, undeserved, unearned grace. In the pre-Jesus times, they had to go through rituals, but in this new time, with the advent of Jesus' coming, a new means of grace came into the fold, and it was given out of love, not given as a merit badge for doing all the right things, but given out of love, and it would cover over everything and anything that anybody had done if we would just reach out and receive it. And take it wholeheartedly as a way of life, as a lens through which we all can live. Grace-filled children of God. John ends this set of verses in verse 18 with the final reason Jesus came. He came to make the Father known. See, Jesus is the fullest, most complete revelation of the Father, and to know Jesus is to know God. To know his character is to know the character of God. The coming of Jesus is the vehicle through which we can know the most about God and his plan and his kingdom and his will and his love. Jesus came to make the Father known. Sometimes we get Jesus' coming a little bit twisted up because we all have our opinions of who he is and about why he came and what his purpose was. I think even good, faithful Christians oftentimes treat Jesus like a buffet where we pick and choose what we like. You know, we walk through the breakfast buffet. And I don't like spinach, but I like bacon, so I'm not going to get that. I'm going to get this, right? That's what we do. We like that Jesus was loving to everyone, but we don't like that he talked about being rich as a problem. We like that he came and did miracles and preached good news about God, but we don't like that he mostly hung out with the poor and sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors. We like that Jesus makes us promises about eternity, but we really don't like that he says that our lives are going to be full of persecution if we love him and serve him, because that's how we know we're truly blessed, if we're persecuted. Yeah, we don't like that so much, do we? We like that Jesus taught us to love others, but he also told us, don't worry about anything. We're good at that, right? The truth is, Jesus came for a lot of reasons. I think John's gospel here makes it easier for us to understand that there was a plan for his coming all along, and it was a robust plan. And our understanding of that plan, our understanding of the reasons Jesus came, I think is a really healthy thing for us as Christians. It's healthy for us to remember that Jesus didn't come for our own purposes. He didn't come to fulfill our agenda. He came to be God's faithful servant so that we in turn would love our God and serve our God in just the same way. And in doing so, proclaim his good news to a world in need. Amen.